Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. Welcome to our Monday Friday message. If anybody has opened this message as a podcast, we want you to understand it is a live teleconference meeting. So there are going to be people who are dialing in from across the country. We'll begin our message in about 3 to 5 minutes to get them a chance to get here. And anytime, you podcasters, anytime you would like to join Freedom Sway on our teleconference meetings, they are held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090. And enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. Actually spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and to catch up on back messages. You'll find them under audio teachings. So welcome. If you would like to say hello, we would love for you to do that. And now is your chance.
Okay, this is Helen.
Hi, Helen. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here. I know you didn't hear from me.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay because the playbacks all the way through last week are on the website.
So what does that mean?
That means if you go to freedomswayministries.com,
okay,
you go to audio teachings,
okay,
and right now they're up there by date.
All right.
I haven't got the names of which chapters it is yet up there. But they are up on the website, excuse me, by date, and you can listen there.
Okay. But there's nothing indicating what the subject matter is.
Not yet, but
okay.
There will be.
Okay. I forget who I was interested in. Not Hezekiah. Somebody else.
Well, I think you said something last week you would like that. That was Ezra. Last week was Ezra, and the week before was Ezra. Principles from Ezra. So that
it was
the
Ezra, because I read the scriptures.
Yeah.
I was reading Ezra afterwards. Yeah, so it was.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
I will. Don't be shocked.
That's okay. That would be May the 3rd, May the 10th.
Okay, very good. All right, I'll put that down. Okay. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Hi there.
Hey. How is everyone?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm a blessed woman of God.
Oh,
yeah.
Me too.
Anybody else want to say hello?
Hello, everybody. It's Gretchen.
Hi, Miss Vicki. Hello, hello.
Hey, Mitch.
Hi, dear.
Thank you, Gretchen. Thank you, Claudia. Thank you, Mitch.
Oh.
And you, Vicki and Phil.
Is that Gretchen?
Yeah.
I thought so. Thank you. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, anybody else want to say hello? We have a really meaty message tonight. And if I don't hear any other hellos, I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones and get us started.
Oh.
Mitch, I think you might have to mute your phone. Yeah, okay. All righty then.
Thank you, honey.
Praise God. Welcome, everyone. My name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki. And we are Freedom's Way Ministries, as well as all of you. And we welcome you. We are so honored to be able to bring you the word tonight. And we are honored to have you with us. So God bless you all as you hear. I'm going to pray us in. I guess I should state our mission for the podcasters. Our mission is to help you come into your true identity in Christ and to experience all the benefits of walking with the Lord in a powerful way and to be able to operate in the authority of the kingdom here on this earth, to do as we are called to do. And our true identity is in Christ and it has the attributes of Christ. So we are doing everything we can to help you walk in that. And if there's anything we can do along the way, feel free to contact us at any time. We are available for you. So I'm going to pray us in and get us started this evening. Father, we just thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for the anointing that's on your word. This new anointing, this more powerful anointing that's coming forward now in this ministry and in many ministries now. We are just thankful for that, Lord, and we are plugged in to this anointing, and we thank you that you are anointing this message in a powerful way to speak to your people and to touch their hearts and move them closer in alignment to how you would have them be in you. And so as your will is, and you have stated that we walk in your authority here on this earth. And we thank you for that, Lord. We honor you in it. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we worship you tonight. We honor you. And in the name of Jesus, I come against any assignment against this word, any interlopers. I bind your power and I break it. And I command you to get behind us as we move forward in the power of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so we have been in this for a bit, Old Testament principles for a New Testament life. Tonight we're going to 1 Chronicles 19 through 1 Chronicles 20 and 3. This series teaches us that Old Testament truth is still truth today. And if you've joined us for the past few weeks, you know we're taking the stories and examples from the Hebrew Scriptures to help us identify and learn from the principles of God set up to guide us successfully through life. When we look at Old Testament examples, we can gain many valuable insights and confirmations for our lives today. And part of our goal is to discover how we can position ourselves to receive from God and walk in the abundant blessings He pours out from heaven. Every word of God is true, and every word is relevant to us. God's precepts and statutes, which are His opinions and His directives, don't change. God doesn't change His mind. Most of us has heard this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But we rather would put it this way: God said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not.
Amen.
So we're the ones that have to get in line with the word. Hallelujah. So when someone tells you the truth and you don't believe it, that doesn't make the truth a lie. Because we have a better covenant doesn't mean the covenants that have gone before that no longer have any value.
That's true.
So true. Once again, our manufacturer's handbook, which is the Bible, the Holy Bible, the living Word of God, it's entirely about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And each one of us should become so familiar with God's Word and His heart that we can open the book to any page and see Jesus. We can recognize the pattern of His life, know His heart for each one of us, receive His guidance, receive His instruction through the examples in history, the Jewish culture, and the lives of those who came before us. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 states, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And again, our foundational scripture is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that means teaching, for reproof, that's conviction, for correction, which is putting things that were out of order back into order, for instruction or training in righteousness. And of course, righteousness is virtue in character and action. In other words, being like Jesus, who is our true righteousness. So now we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles 19 and the first three verses of chapter 20. Once again, we trust the Lord to follow His word with signs. We are going to put this word into the atmosphere, the entire reading from verse 1 of chapter 19 to verse through verse 3 of chapter 20. So listen up.
Now it came to pass after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his stead. And David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. So the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. But the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David honors your father, that he sent comforters unto you? Are not his servants come to you for to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved them and cut off their garments in the midst, hard by their buttocks, and sent them away. Then there went certain and told David how the men were served, and he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards are grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanun and the children of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire them chariots and horsemen out of Mesopotamia and out of Syria Macha and out of Zobah. So they hired 32,000 chariots, and the king of Macha and his people who came and pitched before Medeba, and the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array before the gate of the city. And the kings that were come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose out of all the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother. And they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the children of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help thee. I guess it's really Ammon, so forgive me for the mispronunciation. Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. So Joab and the people were there with him drew nigh before the Syrians unto the battle, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they likewise fled before Abishai his brother and entered into the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem, and when the Syrians saw that they were put to the worst before Israel, they sent messengers and drew forth the Syrians that were beyond the river. And Shophach, the captain of the host of Hadarazar, went before them. And it was told David, and he gathered all Israel and passed over Jordan and came upon them and set the battle in array against them. So when David had put the battle in array against the Syrians, they fought with him. But the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men which fought in chariots and 40,000 footmen, and killed Shophach, the captain of the host. And when the servants of Hadarazar saw that they were put to the worst before Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. Neither would the Syrians help the children of Ammon anymore. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. And it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time that the kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem, and Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. And David took the crown of their king from off his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set upon David's head. And he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city, and he brought out of the people that were in it and cut them with saws and with harrows of iron and with axes. Even so dealt David with all the cities of the children of Ammon, and David and all the people returned to Jerusalem.
That was a bloody mess.
Thank you for your word, Lord. Let's see what we can discover from this example in history. Now, you will also, by the way, find this account in 2 Samuel chapter 10. So we may be referring to some verses from that chapter also. If you have your Bibles open, go ahead, find 2 Samuel chapter 10 and put a marker there, and of course 1 Chronicles 19. Now, first of all, we see a situation with King David that is common to all of us. He performs an act of kindness, and it's misinterpreted as something else. Scripture doesn't reveal to us what Nahash had done for David, but we can guess because of the way it's stated in 2 Samuel, which is, as his father showed kindness to me, that would indicate Nahash likely sent condolence to David when someone close to him had died. Now, Hanun's, or Hanun, as Phil says, that sounds too much like high noon to me. So I'm going to say Hanun. When Hanun's father died, and David was extending an expression of comfort. The two were not close friends. They were not allies, or else David would have made the trip himself. Now think about it. Heads of state, even today, send expressions of condolence when another head of state dies. If the country is an ally, the head of the other country usually attends the funeral in person. So it wouldn't have been unusual for David to send this message of comfort to Hanun. But then see what happens. Hanun's advisors step in. They bring a word of suspicion into his ears. They cause fear and distrust to enter the heart of the new king of Ammon, and he begins to think the worst. He starts thinking about how Israel has defeated Ammon in the past, how King David has subdued every nation surrounding Israel, and he begins to wonder what King David is up to. Why would he send a delegation to bless him, especially since they've never been friendly toward each other? So one thought leads to another as he nurtures this idea of what if? What if these men are really spies? What if David wants to take over my kingdom? What if he's just using this as an excuse to plan his attack, get the lay of the land? What if? What if? What if? And the situation goes from neutral to heated in a matter of minutes.
What if is the devil's question, I tell you.
What happens when our friends cast doubt in our minds about people or situations? When someone just wants to bless you and another person comes along and says, I wonder what he's up to, I wonder what he wants from you. You immediately begin to wonder the same thing, don't you? Why are you doing this? What do you want? Well, there are those who have such mistrust in their hearts that they believe other people always have some sort of ulterior motive in all their actions. We call that being skeptical or cynical or pessimistic or always seeing the negative. God calls it having an evil eye.
Oh, ouch.
Many of us grew up on this saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So it's easy for even the most generous of us to grab the bait of suspicion and then fall into the trap of accusation. We live in such a...
litigious.
Thank
litigious.
You. Why do I have trouble with that word?
I don't
litigious.
Know.
We live in such a litigious society.
That means
I would say litigious is right, where somebody is always suing somebody else over some stupid misunderstanding or mistake. There's hardly room for old-fashioned kindness and graciousness anymore. Acts of kindness are misconstrued as setting us up, and we're always wondering, what if I try to help and something goes wrong? I can't help you move because I might drop something valuable and break it. And I can't ask you for help because you might throw your back out and sue me.
It's a fact, isn't it? It is true. So true. This story, This story of Hanan and David is a perfect example of the progression of evil when suspicion enters our hearts. The thought comes in, Hanan agrees with it, that David is up to no good. He didn't really want to send an expression of comfort, Hanan thinks. He had another motive in mind. He wants to take my kingdom. So rather than receiving David's servants in peace, Hanan treated David's envoy very shamefully. He exposed their backside. He cut off their beards. Now, to be uncovered in either of those ways was an extreme embarrassment to those men. So what happened next? Hanan may or may not have been sorry for what he did, but he certainly realized he had made a mistake, because the word tells us he became hateful to Israel and toward Israel. David was upset. Apparently, Hanan did not want to admit that he had made a mistake, so he hired mercenaries and prepared to go to war. Pride came along on the coattails of false accusation. Hope you heard that. Pride came along on the coattails of false accusation. It is almost as if Hanan was so set on proving that David wanted a fight that he made it impossible for David not to fight. Think about it. See, David wanted to go to war, so I'm going to beat him to it. So now we have a situation brought on because of a lie from hell that began to work in Hanan's mind. David wants to destroy me. And it started with the question, what if? It all started with suspicion.
By definition, suspicion is a feeling or thought that something is possible, likely, or true. Even the definition has a progression to it. Possible is not usually likely. Likely is not necessarily true. You see how suspicion can get bigger the more you dwell on it? The full definition of suspicion from Webster's Dictionary is this: the act or an instance of suspecting something wrong without proof or on slight evidence. Mistrust, a state of mental uneasiness and uncertainty. Doubt. We all know that doubt is a form of fear and that fear is a spirit. And the spirit of fear is not from God. What about mistrust? We found that a person who is mistrusting of others is also mistrusting of God, and a person who doesn't trust God cannot trust others. Is there anyone a suspicious person trusts? Perhaps only himself, and that means he is his own God. And it also means he will live a life of misery and loneliness and defeat, and not a life of fullness.
Hello. Help us, Lord. So back to the story. Hanan hires all these fighters from other nations, and he gathers them for battle. Now, when David hears about it, he sends Joab and the mighty men of Israel to fight. Joab assesses the situation. He sees that the Ammonites are in front of him. The Syrians are behind him. So he split the troops between himself and his brother Abishai. Notice this. Joab had a strategy against the enemy. He didn't enter the battle blindly, but he carefully considered his options. Then he shared the strategy with those who would be in the fray with him, saying, "If the Syrians are too much for me to handle, then you can come to help me. And if the Ammonites are too much for you, I'll come to help you." Amen?
Amen. Then Joab encourages the troops and declares his trust in God. He says, "Be valiant, honorable, courageous, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight." So to me, this is an amazing statement of faith. Joab knew that God is just. He knew that this battle was not for cause, so to speak. There was no good reason for these nations to be fighting each other. It all came about because of fear and pride. Isn't that usually the case? It seems that Joab knew this wasn't his battle, but the Lord's, and he told his men to let the Lord handle it. It's our choice to allow God to move on our behalf or to do things on our own.
Yeah.
That's our choice.
It is. It is my choice. Let it be so. That is a choice. This is a great picture of spiritual warfare. Too many times, we just start flailing away without knowing where the enemy is, and we have no backup. We don't look the situation over. We don't examine ourselves and our position. We don't call a prayer partner for covering. We don't let the Lord make the decisions and handle the situation. No wonder it's so difficult sometimes for us to realize victory in our own lives. We're fighting without a strategy, and we're fighting on our own. You know, people I don't want to say continually, but quite often, will call up this ministry. I'm so tired of this battle. I am so tired of fighting. And it's because they're not resting in God and letting Him do the work. Fight the battle. Battle is the Lord's. The victory is ours. We fight without strategy, and we're fighting on our own.
Well, that says that we need to team up.
Amen.
And I've always felt that we need to team up in this battle. And we will have victory, and we do have many victories, but we would have many more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So after encouraging the troops and declaring his trust in God, Joab moved out against the Syrians. He prevailed, and the Syrians turned tail and ran. Then the Ammonites saw that their mighty mercenaries weren't so mighty at all. They retreated as well. Afterwards, the Syrians called for reinforcements, which prompted David to say, "Okay, enough is enough." He drew the army of Israel out and went after the Syrians. The Israelites killed about 50,000 men, and the rest gave up the fight and surrendered. The Syrians then became the servants of Israel and would not help the Ammonites any longer. The account in Samuel says the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. They were afraid to step out against Israel, but that wasn't the end of it.
That's right. You know, after the year passed, Joab went out against Ammon again. You remember in the first battle, the Ammonites retreated into the city, and Israel was left fighting the Syrians. But in this battle, he wasted the country of the children of Ammon. There was total devastation. Joab smote the city of Rabbah and destroyed it. They pillaged, they plundered, they got lots of good stuff, including the king's crown, which Joab gave to David, and then they went about from city to city throughout the land of Ammon, cutting up people with saws and axes and other tools of destruction. Whew. I don't have a doubt, it was a horrific, bloody mess in Ammon. And it all came about because Hannah was suspicious of David's intentions.
Wow.
He fell into accusation and then pride, and he couldn't admit his mistake. Hanun was unwilling to say he was wrong. Some people would rather go to their graves than admit they were wrong about something.
That's just frightening.
It is frighteningly true. There are those who would rather be right than free. We have a message in this ministry. Would you rather be right or free? And some people would rather be right than enjoy the freedom that God has for them.
How sad.
It is.
How sad. So let's recap the principles we see in this account, because these verses are just packed full of them. First, Our good intentions are not always well received and can be misunderstood. That's an understatement in this case. Yeah, we have to make our intentions clear. How about that? We all seem to have this mistaken idea that everybody should know how wonderful we are, and we all seem to take offense when that doesn't happen, and we're misunderstood, maligned, or otherwise rejected. You know, rather than taking offense, become defensive, and becoming defensive and prideful, we should simply move on with God.
Hey.
You know, it's, if you read...
Keep moving.
You know, we should really never take offense. I mean, that should be our motto. We don't take offense. Hallelujah. Somebody offers it, we just say thank you, but no thank you. We don't take it. Hallelujah. Matthew 10, 12 through 16 says the following, and when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves.
Thank you, Lord.
Next, we see that listening to the wrong voices can create unrest, chaos, and even destruction in our lives. Nurturing the thoughts of hell will always position us in hell on earth and completely out of the will of God. Psalms 106, verse 24 and 25 state, yes, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.
Another principle in this account of Ammon and Israel is that seeing the negative in everything indicates that we have an evil eye and are only out for ourselves. That means there is darkness in our hearts. Being negative denies the presence and the power of God and his glory in us. Help us, Lord. Matthew 6:23. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?
One of the most important principles in this passage is that reacting out of fear causes shame in others and in ourselves. Shame in ourselves leads to pride. Out of pride comes contention. We will create a devastating battle in our own lives by trying to hide our shame of being wrong. Trying to cover up our own shame is a useless exercise, because it is going to be eventually exposed anyway. You're either going to be, you're going to walk in humility, or you're going to be humiliated. It's that simple. Psalms 53:5. There were they in great fear where no fear was. That's the Ammonites. For God has scattered the bones of him that encamps against you. That's the Israelites. You, the Israelites, have put them, the Ammonites, to shame because God has despised them. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love.
Next, we learn that mistrust makes you your own God. When we trust only ourselves, we're not open to the Lord, and certainly not any other person to lead, guide, direct, or teach us. Psalms 9:10 says the following, "And they that know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek you." Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might."
Hallelujah.
We saw the principle of having a strategy against the enemy, assessing the situation, making a plan, and having backup, and how important that is when dealing with an onslaught from the enemy. Proverbs 20, verse 18, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." In Luke 14:31, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000.
Finally, and perhaps most importantly, we saw that when we decide to act courageously and let God handle things as seems good to him, then he can bring judgment on evil and justice to his people. No matter how unfair things may appear, we can give the situation over to God and allow him to turn it around. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17:47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." Hallelujah. Once more, there are 7 principles to live by in this account.
And, you know, I just want to say, remind everyone, 7 is God's number of spiritual perfection.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
So what are the principles? Very quickly.
Okay.
I mean, not quickly, but briefly, not quickly.
Okay. 1 is good intentions can be misunderstood. We should simply move on when they are and not take offense. Listening to the wrong voice and nurturing thoughts of hell creates destruction and takes us out of God's will. Seeing negative in everything causes darkness in our hearts and denies God in our lives. Reacting out of fear creates shame, which leads to pride and causes contention. You notice all, well, I don't want to get off on that right. The next one is mistrust makes you your own God. The next one is have a strategy, assess the situation, make a plan, and get support. Hallelujah. Have a strategy to overcome a situation. Give the situation over to God and let him handle it. And that was the last point. And if you'd like them again, we'll be glad to give them to you. If you missed any of them and you're taking notes. Yeah, after we pray, we'll do that. So let's seal these in our hearts and gain some more freedom. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I am going to lead you in a prayer. If you want to seal these principles in your heart, live by them, you have a responsibility, you know, when you know the truth, you have a responsibility for it. Now, as I pray this prayer, there may be some physical manifestations that you might experience. You might not. But if there are, just remember that those spirits have been with you for a while and they don't want to go. So they will try to put you in fear or to distract you. So before we even pray, I just bind up all fear of evil in the name of Jesus. I say you cannot operate or manifest. So pray with me. Father God, once again, I thank you for these insights. You are so faithful.
You are so faithful.
To show me these principles in a way I can understand. And rightly respond to you.
Right.
Forgive me, Father, for taking offense when I am misunderstood.
Father.
Help me to move on with you. Disregarding false accusations against me. I break agreement now with accusation and offense. I don't want these things in my life. Keep me in tune to your voice, Lord. So that I'm not drawn off track and into destruction. I break agreement with lies of hell. Every spirit of what if. And I ask you to forgive me for receiving those lies. For believing them, and for living them. Lord, I don't want to see negative in every situation. I don't want to focus on what could go wrong. Forgive me for that, Father. And free me from an evil eye.
Free me from an evil eye.
That would cause my heart to be darkened. I break agreement with that spirit of the evil eye.
Spirit of the evil.
Right now.
Right.
Forgive me, Father, for listening to fear and allowing it to take me into pride and contention. I break agreement with all fear, pride, and contention in the name of Jesus Christ. I also break agreement with mistrust and suspicion. Lord, I can see I have participated with those spirits. And I ask your forgiveness. Give me your plan and strategy, Lord.
Right.
Your wisdom in every situation and circumstance.
Yep. Right.
So that I can succeed in defeating the enemy. Rather than being defeated by him. I don't want to do it my way, Lord. I want to do it your way. Help me clearly see and remember that the battle belongs to you. And Lord, give me the courage to turn it over to you and let you handle it, knowing that you know best for everyone concerned.
For everyone.
and you will right all the wrongs in a way that proves your love and prospers your kingdom. I break agreement with every spirit of control. That would cause me to want to be in control. And that makes it hard for me to let go. And I forgive my ancestors for any time they open the door to any spirit I have named. I forgive them and I release them from responsibility for any curse that attached itself to me. I take responsibility for those curses. And I give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask your forgiveness for my participation. Knowingly or unknowingly. With any of these spirits. And I ask these things in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I declare his blood is all powerful and effective to accomplish my freedom. Amen. All right, now it's my turn. Again, you might cough or sneeze or cry or burp or yawn. Yawning is a big thing. Many of you have probably already been yawning because those things leave in you before I send them to the pit. Oh, thank you, God, for the authority. Thank you, Lord. There is none like you. Nobody can do what you do. And I thank you for the privilege of moving in your authority now against these forces of hell that have hindered your people in any area of their lives. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever those generational cords of iniquity, every evil soul tie that has held any of this in place in their lives. I cut through those cords completely. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to them. And I take back for each and every person that prayed this prayer. I take back for you the godly things that have been stolen from you. I just hear in my spirit that there is someone out there that has claimed being accident prone all your life. That is not you. I loose you from that. That is a generational curse in the name of Jesus. All those near-death experiences, those near-injurious things that have happened, even since your childhood, I free you from that now in the name of Jesus. And I send that thing to the pit. I reverse every curse that has come through the generations. I reverse those curses. I speak now to spirits of accusation, self-accusation, false accusation, offense. You have no place here. These people have broken agreement with you. You come up and out from every cell in their bodies right now. In the name of Jesus, I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you. You cannot rise again. Take your diseases with you. I speak to the lies of hell, every spirit or spirit guide of what if and if only that is designed to take God's people out of his presence. Loose them now and let them go. They have truth. Get up, get out, and go. I cast out the evil eye that would have you seeing negative in everything, that would have you thinking of what can go wrong before imagining what can go right. In the name of Jesus, get up, get out, and go. I leave from every cell in their bodies. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. I speak to all fear, pride, and contention. Ugh. Get out. I cast you into the pit. Big shift. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that are hearkening and obeying. Thank you for this battle that is going on even now in the spirit realm, in the second heaven, that you are gathering those things up. Thank you. By the host of heaven, herd them into the fire of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast out mistrust, suspicion, up and out from every cell in their bodies now. Go to the pit. And in the name and by the authority of the blood of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, I cast out that spirit of control, fear of losing control, fear of not being in control, fear of allowing God to take over. Every spirit and spirit guide of control, I cast you out now. Loose them and let them go. And I remind every spirit and spirit guide that I have spoken your name tonight. I remind you, God's people broke agreement with you, and you cannot stay. Lord, I ask for your angels of burning, judgment, destruction to come against any hangers-on. That person that feels like, oh, it just won't come out. It just won't come. Get out now in Jesus' name. Up and out from every cell right now. Go. In the name of Jesus Christ, tear down the altars that have been built to suspicion and mistrust. Crush them stone by stone under the feet of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You alone are God. You alone are our deliverer. Father, I ask for fresh infilling now, an increase of your Holy Spirit power and purity. Fill us, Lord, where accusation and offense have left. Fill us with your perfect peace and your absolute love. Fill us with your humility that makes us invincible to pride and offense. Fill us, Lord, with your truth, with a new understanding, a new perspective that when the question and the lie comes, or what if this, or what if that, that we can say, nope, and turn to you, Lord, and say, what now? Not what if, what now? Lord, where we were seeing negative in everything, I close that evil eye forever. I ask that you seal it in the blood of Jesus, and that you fill us with the prophecy of good that you have spoken into our lives. Lord, where we have been afraid, mistrusting, suspicious, and controlling, fill us with your perfect love and trust, that there is simply no room for these unclean things. Wash through us with your living water, your refreshing, your abiding presence. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what joy. Ah, there is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord forever. If you have a comment or a question, you can push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad, and that will unmute your phone and put you fully back into this conference where we can hear you. Ooh, chains are breaking.
Hey, Vicki. I would read the rest of First Chronicles 20 and proclaim that the giants have been killed by the hand of his servants.
Amen.
So that starts at 20 verses 4 to 8. It's very brief, but it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Shibechai the Hushathite slew Sippai, that was of the children of the giant, and they were subdued. And there was war again with the Philistines, and Elhanan the son of Jair slew Lami, the brother of Goliath the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. And yet again, there was war at Gath, where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 24 and 6 on each hand. I'm sorry, were 4 and 20, 6 on each hand, and 6 on each foot, and he also was a son of the giant. But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, slew him. These were born unto the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The giants have been slain. Thank you, Gretchen. Woohoo! Anybody else got something to add tonight? This is church. Everybody has a song, a hymn, a spiritual, whatever that word is, whatever it says there. Everybody, we come together. We share the revelation.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Even
yep,
things that didn't come out of my mouth. Amen. Thank you, Annette.
Yeah, the rest of the day, but they all put to sunder. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, he's good. Oh, he's faithful.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Anybody else before Pastor Bill blesses us?
You on there, Mitch?
He was.
Yes, I am. I'm on there. I'm having a lot of issues going on with family right now, Ms. Vicki. I needed a prayer like that. Thank you. With my father ending his, you know, getting close to the end of his life and stuff. We're dealing with a lot of lies and insinuations and a lot of fear right now going on, too. But there's just a lot going on with my family right now, too, then. And I don't wish that on him, but I wish him another 20 years. But we're just going through a lot of stuff right now, a lot of family issues with daddy and sisters and everybody else trying to agree and whatever, too, then, you know, just a lot of garbage right now. But thank you for the prayers, and take that old ancestor mess away from us that's been passed down from generation to generation. Thank you for taking that out of me, all that evil stuff. Thank you, sis. Thank you for the prayers.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel that relief tonight. I feel that relief. That gave me some more relief too, then. Give me some insight and open my eyes a little bit more. So things I gotta deal with right now. Giving it all to him.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Be empowered.
Amen.
We lift you up in the name of Jesus to be empowered with wisdom and might in this situation. To come against any attack on your mind that would try to draw you away from the Lord in any way. And I just loose the anointing of God in wisdom and might and strength and power and anointing to know that you know the correct path to take in the situation. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. And I tell you, if you walk in love and
humility, thank you.
Mitch, if you walk in humility in every situation, you're invisible to the enemy. You are invisible. The humility is the power. Humility is
the
power of the enemy. So
praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Cover him, Lord, with that cloak of humility that makes him invisible to the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else have something before we pray into this wonderful week?
Yeah, hey, it's Gretchen. I'm sorry. I got a phone call and all kinds of interruptions when I was trying to share, but I want to also thank you so very much. It was quite a marvelous prayer. Definitely one to be recorded and played again, and really just like many people out here tonight, we just really want to lift you up and thank you that God works through you guys so mightily. And thank you just for being such a prayer, knowing how to pray and praying with authority, and then teaching us with the right character as well. I mean, I'm just giving God a thank you and you guys as well. So much love.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you,
Back
Gretchen.
At you, my dear.
God bless you.
Back at you.
You all, each and every one, are such a vital part of this ministry. And and we love and appreciate every one of you.
And we are honored to have. Go on.
I'm asking the Lord, you know, what do I have? You know, I think I'm like clean, you know. So anyways, when you were talking about good intentions, with a particular service, I think, you know, doesn't she know I have all this good intention toward her? No, she doesn't. So, what do? I'm befriended. How can she not know? Well, I don't know how she could not know, but apparently she does. So it's okay. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me and extending this forgiveness to my sister in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Father, for opening up both of our eyes and all of our eyes tonight about mistrust and negative thinking. Praise Jesus. We give you praise. Both ways through us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well, that Holy Spirit anointing is just flowing through the families. Praise God. Oh, anybody else want to give God some glory before we bless you? Okay.
Oh. Vicki, this is Alice. I just want to thank you again for the wonderful prayer.
Thank you, Alice. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was saying before, we are so honored that people of such great character and caliber on the line with us, and we are just bless you. We are so thankful for you. We love you all so very much. And Lord, I just lift these people up to you. I just ask that you seal this word in our heart. We are empowered by your word, that this anointing is transferred and flows. Thank you for the peace that's surrounding us right now, Lord. In a mighty way. It passes all understanding. It's in the air, Lord. We just thank you for it. Thank you for this peace, this sweet anointing that's present at this time in our lives. I thank you for it. Yes, it increases, and that we react more like you all the time, Lord. More of you in our lives, as it glorifies you, as you wish to glorify us. That is scriptural. That we just thank you, Lord, for your great plans and purposes in our lives, your goodness, your power. Your anointing. Lord, give us wisdom to use these great gifts in a mighty way that we can do exploits, that we can work miracles,
in our lives and other people's lives, Lord, that your anointing, the shadow, it heals people. And they all know that there's a difference that just entered the room when we walk in, Lord. So we just thank you for that anointing. We thank you that it's on all of us and that it strengthens us and empowers us. We honor you with all our hearts, our minds, our strength. We worship you tonight. We worship you tonight. With your permission, Father, I will bless your people as Aaron, high priest of Israel, bless the people of Israel. So you'll find it in Numbers, the 6th chapter. It's a chant. I'm going to do it in Hebrew and then in English. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai pano ve'lecha yifunecha Yisa Adonai pano ve'lecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto, his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We honor you. We give you glory. Camp your angels around your people this week. Lead them into powerfully wonderful situations where they can grow and spread your word and your anointing wherever they go. And that signs and wonders follow. As your word says. So we give you honor and glory again in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you all for being here. And we will be back here in the morning at 7:15 for the King's Table. This message will be repeated Friday night at 8:30. And those are Eastern times. God bless you. Have a great week.
You too, Vicki.
Thank you, dear.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.